Absalom to do is to demonstrate to all those who are with him that he is prepared to go all the way in this rebellion against his father, that he is prepared to do things to his father and to his father's legacy from which there can be no return. Because otherwise everybody's going to have the back of their mind that Absalom, you know, isn't really committed to this, and how much can people be expected to really sacrifice for Absalom under these circumstances? So that was the advice of Achitophel, and Absalom takes it and he goes and desecrates his father's harem. But what we're going to see over the course of the next 35 minutes or so is that the bridges weren't entirely burned. And Absalom, in the core of his being, still has a fundamental ambivalence. And let's have a look. Okay. Let me just bring up the source sheet 1 second. Okay. Sorry, I closed it accidentally before with the YouTube. Okay. Here we go. So, Vayomer Achitophel Absalom, Evcharana Shneim Asar Elef Ish, let me choose 12,000 men, presumably 1,000 from each tribe, Ve'akuma Ve'erdefa Acharei David Halayla, and I will chase down David this very night. Ve'avo Alav Hu Yageya, he's just exhausted, Rufei Adayim, and his hands are weak. V'achradti oso, from the language of charada, will terrify him and his camp. V'nas kol ha'am asher ito, and everybody will flee, all of the people that are with him, the small group. V'iketi et ha'melech levado, and I will cause David to die. In other words, I will take the battle straight to David. All of his men will flee. V'ashiva chol ha'am elecha, and that way everybody will return to you. Kishuv hakol ha'ish asher atam evakesh kol ha'am yihiyah shalom. So I'll just go for David, and everybody's going to return to you in peace. There won't be any bloodshed beyond this. V'ayishar adavar b'nei Avshalom. Everybody thought this was the right thing. U'v'nei kol ziknei Yisrael. So let's talk about Achitophel's proposal. So Achitophel is very consistent with his previous advice, according to some, as we discussed last week, the advice that he gave, you know, to condition and say, Absalom, okay, I'll tell you what to do in the battle, but you have to listen to me first. So he says, basically, we're going to take the fight straight to David. Let's not waste any time. Let's not try to gather 500,000 people together. Let's go with a very small army of 12,000. Anybody, by the way, remember when 12,000 soldiers are chosen to fight in the Torah, where it's just 12,000? I think it's very, very telling. There's only one battle in the Torah where it's 1,000 from each tribe. Effie, this is a good one for you.
Midian?
Yes, Midian. The war of vengeance against Midian. Outstanding. Now, I think that's significant because, remember, for Achitophel, this is a war of vengeance. David, right, had been in a relationship with Bathsheba, his granddaughter, and he was looking to avenge that. Moreover, I think you can sort of think about that in the context of the battle plan that Achitophel lays out. Because what does Achitophel say? We're going to be able to isolate David. We'll come with 12,000 men in the middle of the night. David will be left all alone. We'll kill David. And that will be the end of things. And the Jewish people aren't going to be angry at you for precipitating a civil war. Right? Because otherwise, if there's going to be a massive civil war, that's going to be hard for Absalom to get his malchus off the ground, because there are going to be a lot of people who lost brothers and sons and fathers. So, this is the, laparoscopic version, right? Minimally invasive procedure here to get David and get him out of the way. And it seems to make sense. Now, the reason I say it's very apropos, if you're going with this reading, then Effie and I are suggesting that it's sort of a way of recapitulating the war of vengeance against Midian, and that it's Achitophel's personal battle of vengeance, as he says, "V'hikesi es hamelech levado," that he personally is going to kill David. It's really interesting, and that it will be the king alone. Remember what happened to Uriah in the battle, right? It was his grandson-in-law, but he was left all by himself, right? That David gave Yoav instructions: go with a platoon to the front of the wall and then have everybody else run away and don't pass the message along to Uriah, right? So he's going to be left by himself, and David is going to be left by himself. Vayomer Avshalom. So this is now the moment which is really surprising. Karana gam l'chushai ha'arki, kol chushai, right? David's mole. V'nishma ba ma b'fiv gam hu. So the very fact that even after Achitophel's advice, which seems so sagacious, go after David now, strike while the iron is hot, don't do anything that risks creating any more hostility than will be necessary, right? Why in the world would it be in Absalom's interest to, lead a major battle right now? So the very fact that Absalom is seeking additional counsel, especially after the pasuk testifies Vayishar hadavar b'nei Absalom u'b'nei kol ziknei Yisrael, tells you something very important. What does it tell us?
He doesn't totally trust the advice he's just been given.
So that's an interesting way of putting it. Is it that he doesn't trust it?
Or maybe it doesn't sit so well with him.
Why not?
Because it's clear that they're going to make sure that David is killed by the end, and maybe he's a little bit ambivalent.
There it is. Okay, so let's take a look at what Chushai says, and then we have to discuss Ruthie's point, because that is what the story is about. Vayomer Chushai l'Avshalom, lo tova ha'itza asher ya'atz Achitophel b'pam hazot. He's always right, but not this time. Vayomer Chushai, ata yadata et avicha. You know your father. Ve'et anashav ki giborim heima, umari nefesh heima kedov shakul basadeh. Right, when they're wounded, they're the most dangerous, like a bereaved bear. Ve'avicha, ish milchama ve'lo yalin et ha'am. You're kidding yourself if you think that he's just going to be waiting around with his people. Right, he's already preparing to strike back. Hinei atahu nechba be'achad ha'pchatim, o be'achad ha'mekomot. Right, he's going to be hiding somewhere, waiting, just waiting for somebody to come. Vaya kinfo b'hem b'tchila. Right, what's going to happen is that they're going to be waiting for you. They're going to ambush you. And even if you have massively superior numbers, even if you have 12,000 people to their 600, right, there's going to be loss of life and people are going to start running. It's a night battle. David is going to be able to turn the tide of battle. Himas, and even Achitophel, who's very courageous, is not going to be able to withstand that kind of pressure. Ki odeya kol Yisrael, ki gibor avicha, that your father is a gibor, is a warrior. Uvenei chayil asherito. Kiyatzti. So rather I suggest, this is what's called in military parlance, the Powell Doctrine, use of overwhelming force. Kiyatzti heasof heasef alecha chol Yisrael midan v'ad Beersheva. Kachol asher alayam larov. Ufanecha hochim bakrav. And you, Avshalom, you must participate in the battle. In Achitofel's plan, right, he was going to lead the battle. You, Avshalom, you must lead the battle and gather the entire Jewish people together. Midan v'ad Beersheva, from north to south, right, playing into Avshalom's sense of vanity, right, saying, you gather the entire Jewish people, they're your people, you be the leader. Uvanu ilav be'achad ha'mikomot asher nimtza sham. And certainly he's waiting for you, he's lying in wait, but if you can overwhelm him with force, if you can gather the Jewish people together, v'nachnu alav, kasher yipol hatal al hadama, like dew covers the earth. There simply won't be anything he can do. Even if they'll kill it, you know, your soldiers at a 10 to 1 ratio, you'll outnumber him 1,000 to 1, 10,000 to 1. And there won't be anything that can be done, v'lo notarbo. You can destroy his entire force. If they try to, you know, run into a city, right? So then, what you can do is you can lay siege to the city. You can drag down the city walls until there is literally nothing left of the city. Not even a pebble. Vayomer Avshalom v'chol ish Yisrael tova atzad chushai arkim yatzad Achitofel. So they liked Chushai's advice better than Achitofel's advice. Vashem tziva lafer atzad Achitofel atova lavor havi Hashem et Avshalom el Avshalom et hara'a. The Navi testifies that this was actually a form of providence, of divine intervention. Because the truth of the matter really was that Achitofel's advice was superior. Had they struck that night while the iron was hot, had they gone after David himself, it would have been to Avshalom's benefit. Waiting to gather the entire people gave David a chance to regroup. And this was a form of providence. Okay. So what I'd like to discuss, and this is why I subtitled this year, The Advice We Seek. Why do people listen to somebody else? Why do people choose the advice of Chushai over the advice of Achitofel? This parak to me is so important. There's such a critical lesson about life, about the nature of life, about the nature of decisions, which is what life is. A series of decisions that we make. What is the point? Why does Avshalom choose to listen to Hushai's advice? Eva, go ahead.
Two thoughts. One is people like to procrastinate. So, number one, I'm asking for a second decision. He was already procrastinating. And then also, that whole decision came in against the request to make, gather more men, feel more powerful going with more men. So he was putting off doing something, and maybe deep down he didn't want to kill his father.
Right. I agree. I think that's what Ruthie was saying before. The advice we seek, the advice we heed, the advice we choose, is very revealing. It tells us something about ourselves that maybe we weren't fully prepared to admit to ourselves. And hearing it from another person gives us a permission structure. Avshalom craves power. He was incensed with his father for not bringing justice to his sister Tamar. But he's not prepared to take the final step. Eva, the reason that people like to procrastinate is because people don't like to have to cross a Rubicon. There's fear. Absalom looked at the monarchy in the eye, and then he blinked. Because there can be no coup without replacing the previous king. And replacing the previous king doesn't mean, as Hushai's been suggesting the whole time, oh, you know, he'll go into retirement. I worked for your father, now I'll work for you. Your father will come around, you'll see. He'll play golf. Absalom has a point of weakness. And that is why, as you noticed, what was the word that Hushai kept on repeating in his advice? Avicha, Avicha, Avicha. Your father. It's a manipulation. Hushai is manipulating. Atayadat et avicha, ve'avicha ish mochama, ki gibor avicha. It's interesting. If you go back to the way that Achitofel spoke, akuma ve'erdefa acharei David halayla. When he wants to refer to him the second time, he calls him the Melech. He doesn't want to personalize this. It's interesting. Achitofel seems to have a deep psychological insight into Absalom. Remember, what was the critical part of Achitofel's battle plan? Was to move quickly. And it seems like the reason that he's saying it is because this is when David is at his weakest. But when you start to think about it in light of Hushai's advice, you realize that Achitofel was onto something much deeper. What did Achitofel realize? What was the true nature of his advice? Why didn't he want Absalom to come? Why did he want to be the one to lead the battle? It's strange. What did Achitofel understand? He understood exactly what Hushai understood. That Absalom might not have been prepared. That's why he told Absalom to do what he did with his father's harem. But he still sensed deep down that Absalom had not crossed a personal Rubicon. The die was not yet cast. The bridges had not been fully burned. And it was now or never. If there's something that you want in life, you have to pursue it. It must be pursued. V'im lo achshav ematai. Now sometimes prudence, you can take your time and you can go on a steady course as long as you're following true north, as long as you're following that star. But Achitofel and Hushai both realized the same thing and became a battle for the soul of Absalom. Achitofel and Hushai both knew that there was a weakness there. Achitofel senses the weakness and says, we've got to go now. And if I take Absalom with me, he won't be able to seal the deal. So I'm going. Hushai senses that same weakness and says, let me manipulate him. Avicha, 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 your father. The advice we seek, the advice we heed, the advice we choose is basically a referendum on what we want. But we're not able to sometimes be honest with ourselves about that point. Hearing it from Hushai allows Absalom to say, oh, it's great advice. We'll use overwhelming force. And allows him to obfuscate the singular issue at the heart of all of this is Absalom prepared to really take on his father? He wants to be the successor to his father. But is he prepared to really rebel against his father? And the answer is no. And ultimately, that's what saves David. So yeah, the Navi testifies that it was kind of providential, right? That, you know, everybody else would, you know, sort of fall for Hushai's ruse, for his manipulation. But it comes from a very deep place. That Avshalom isn't really prepared to do this. His heart is certainly in it for the power, is certainly in it for the ambition. But he wants to have his cake and eat it too, and sometimes that's just not possible in life. In life, it's got to be one or the other sometimes. You can't both be the king and not destroy the previous king. It's not going to work. Achitophel and Hushai both understood that. And it became a battle for Absalom's soul. Hushai wins that battle. Now, I didn't include it in the verses for tonight because it would have just taken us way too long and we wouldn't be able to do it justice. But anybody know what Achitophel goes and does right away? We'll take a look at it next week. He doesn't even wait to see what happens. What does Achitophel do? He goes and he hangs himself. He knows that all is lost. Nothing good will come of this. He realizes that once Absalom listens to Hushai's advice, he'll never carry through with this rebellion. David will be back on the throne, and of course Achitophel will have no future. So he gets his affairs in order and he hangs himself. This is the decisive moment. Again, Absalom looked straight at the possibility of becoming the king, with what that would require in terms of killing his father. And he was not prepared to take that step. Listening to Hushai is a good excuse, but it's really about something deep down within Avshalom. The whole thing was a fantasy. What do we keep on saying about Avshalom? The way that the Navi introduces him is that he keeps on being gonev lev, right? He's able to deceive the entire Jewish people. He's able to deceive everybody who's coming to adjudicate cases. He's able to deceive his father when he goes to Hebron. But in the end, he was really deceiving himself. He was deluding himself. He was imagining that somehow he could be the Melech without having to strike out against his father. He's his own greatest victim. And this is the moment when we see that. He's afraid. And I think, you know, the Gemara Megillah tells us that the reason that all prophecy is written down is only Nevuah HaNitzrach HaLadoros. It's only prophecy which is necessary for us as people. Nevuah HaNitzrach HaLadoros Nechtava, Nevuah Shena Nitzrach HaLadoros Shena Nechtava. The only things that are actually included in Tanakh are the prophecies that teach us something essential about life. And I see this chapter as like uniquely essential. It's not about a story of David and Avshalom. It's about how we make decisions. And how we make decisions basically becomes the story of our life. It's the decisions that we make. And the decisions that we make are a way of revealing to ourselves what's important to us. What are we willing to do? What's not? What are we not willing to do? Sometimes we live with self-deception. But the competing advice of Achitophel and Hushai distills out for Absalom, are you prepared to do this or not? What is it that you really want here? Is this all a fantasy? And it was. that he could be the king, and that his father would say, okay, I guess you killed Amnon. Okay, I guess I'll have you back in Yerushalayim. Okay, I guess I'll bring you back to the palace. And Avshalom had this fantasy that he was going to be able to carry that all the way through to being the king, that David would just forgive that. And he was deceiving himself. And that's something that we all have to challenge ourselves with in this chapter. Are we being honest with ourselves? Or are we deceiving ourselves? Are we allowing ourselves to, as Eva said, to procrastinate? Procrastinating is just a way of avoiding confronting ourselves, making a real decision with the consequences of that decision. That's what this chapter is about. Self-deception. That's why Achitofel goes and he kills himself. He realizes he was taken into a fraud, that Avshalom's not really going to be prepared to carry this out. Let's stop it here.